Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep,
where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. No. I'll talk to D. Rose. Yeah, guys. Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy. Got it! Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369, the place to do that. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order. Welcome back from the weekend, everybody. We've got a fantastic conversation bringing to you our friend, former Chicago Bull, four-time NBA champion Will Perdue from NBC Sports Chicago. Spent over an hour, almost an hour and a half with Will Perdue today, and we're going to bring those to you in two separate episodes. So without further ado, here's the first portion of our conversation with Will Perdue.
I got Will Perdue here.
Right now, we're very pleased to welcome back to the Locked On Bulls podcast a four-time NBA champion. Three of those rings came for our beloved Bulls here in Chicago. Now you can hear him as a Bulls analyst on NBC Sports Chicago of the Bulls pre- and post-game live show with Jason Goff and our man Kendall Gill. You can also hear him do color commentary for college hoops on Westwood One Sports, and you can follow him on Twitter at Will underscore Perdue 32, the man in the middle, and somebody I am lucky enough to call a colleague and a friend, although he might object to that second part. Will Perdue, welcome back to the pod, man. How you doing?
All right, brother. Let's be honest here. Our post-game show is really just the pre-game show for the Bulls outsiders.
I appreciate that, but I know that that's not true. We're not breaking down plays and calling out players like you and Kendall can. Which, by the way, before we get into Billy Donovan and lots of other things we want to talk to you about, first I want to bring this up. Can we knock it off with the Kendall Gill social media stuff where he's just showing all of us up with his incredible workouts and his insanely ripped body? Because, like, he posts all this 60-40 club stuff where he looks incredibly fit and he's motivating all these people, and then he tags all of us in it. Like, what's with that?
That's a valid question. I have not succumbed to the peer pressure as of yet. neither has any of you. Now, I know Mr. Goff was out there. I don't know if he's still out there. I know he got started. But, you know, there's certain things that when you watch, you're just like, yeah, I'd like to do that, but I'm not sure how important that is to me, you know, because that's quite a commitment to go out there for 50 straight days at 7:30 in the morning, especially that time of year, because that's going to disrupt my golf schedule. So you got to have your priorities, right? But I constantly, if you know, I follow him on Instagram, and that's where you see it all, and I ask a couple questions. First of all, who in the hell decided it was appropriate to give him that bullhorn? Made a huge mistake. And then secondly, I find it pretty hilarious that he takes time out of his day to track people down and shame them when they stop coming to the workouts after they've started. You've seen the video of him following that girl out of Dunkin' Donuts.
Right.
You've seen him where he's followed that girl into the gym. She's actually working out. It's not like she was, you know, somewhere eating a pizza or something of that nature. She was actually working out, but he was shaming her about, I mean, I feel like occasionally I'm back in Fight Club. You don't talk about Fight Club. You only participate in Fight Club. I'm just like, I mean, I guess the big question is Kendall Gill sitting around at home by himself making his own soap?
you know, I wouldn't be surprised. That dude always has some side hustle going on. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm just glad he doesn't know where I live, because he would be knocking down my door, shaming me for all the pizza and beer I've consumed during this 7-month quarantine that we have on our hands.
But at the same time, Matt, you have the right to do what it is that you want to do at your leisure. At some point, and you just, all you guys have to, as I'm preparing myself, the one we get back into the studio, we all know that the hazing and the shame will be ramped up tenfold to the point that we will all probably get in and do it together. And we'll do a little special for NBC Sports Chicago part three, because I know he's already got part one and part two. And we probably will get involved into, you know, some shape or form. But as I like to say, as I'm standing in my kitchen right now, it's probably about 15 yards to the fridge and back. So I basically do a 15-15 and during commercials.
Yeah. I was joking with Schanowski on Twitter the other day, like, you know, that halftime walk from the green room to the break room to hit up the vending machine at halftime of the Bulls game, like, that's my exercise. So when they shoved us all out of the studio before the season ended, I lost that. So I just haven't been exercising at all. It's a much shorter walk from my couch to my fridge at home than it is on that, you know, the halftime exercise in the green room.
But let's also call Kendall out as well, okay? Probably, you know, it's been good for him in the sense that we haven't necessarily influenced him because we haven't been around. But it's also, he needs the necessary discipline that he doesn't have when he's around us, because then he tries to blame us for his bad diet when he drops money into that vending machine and gets potato chips and a Snickers bar.
Right.
And whatever, you know.
But you're always there pizza. Eating salads on game night.
Well, but I have pizza with you without Jardinere. Let's be clear about that. But he also tries to blame all his bad habits on us. And we're like, dude, it's simple. Just say no.
Easier said than done, Will.
That is true, as you open up your sixth beer.
Hey, it's only 12:30 in the afternoon as we're recording this. I haven't even cracked my first beer yet.
I wasn't necessarily talking about at the moment.
Oh, okay.
I was maybe talking about during one of your hot mic broadcasts.
Yeah, well, those are in the evening time. That's beer o'clock, buddy.
Well, as they say, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Right.
All right, we've got off course here already, which happens quite a bit when we start doing our little segment on TV when we bring the outsiders on to preview what you guys are going to talk about.
You we can't really put that on track. Us. You can't put that on us.
I'm not saying it has to do with you. It's just we have a few things we want to say to you guys. You have a few things you say to us. And then the producer is back there in the room putting his hands in it, on his head, being like, why did I recommend we do this? This is that commercial.
Yeah. I think sometimes they ask that question about the entirety of outsiders in general.
We've had some boots to asses and we'll continue to have that.
Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, the Bears lost, I'm just not in the mood. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan available. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. All right, Jordan, get us on course. Let's talk about Billy Donovan.
Speaking of, like, believe me, I can firsthand for any producers at NBC Sports Chicago, I understand the feeling as being a producer at 670. Sometimes you get hosts and guests off the rails and you're standing there like, we got to hit a commercial break and we're 26 minutes into this segment. You're like, you know what? Just let them riff. Just let them go. But yes, we want to actually talk to you about Bull stuff. First and foremost, your thoughts on Billy Donovan, were you surprised at all first that the Bulls were willing to go out and find somebody with experience and also put up the money to sign Billy Donovan? And did they strike too soon? Some fans seem like they were a little bit, I don't know, they're wavering on the decision. First, they were excited about Donovan, but now maybe feeling a little bit anxious that the Bulls didn't wait to see the opportunity for Doc Rivers to come available. What were your overall thoughts about Billy Donovan? Do you feel like he's the best fit for Chicago?
I think he is a solid hire. I think he's a great fit for the roster that they have at this moment. And let me be very clear. The reason why I'm so optimistic is that what's been, and I'll have Matt respond after I get finished. But what the biggest thing that we've talked about and harped on amongst all the things, probably the most constant, is player development. This team, this organization really needs to focus on player development. Where's the player development? Now, has Zach LaVine got better? Yes. Has Lauri Markkanen got better? Well, we seem to think that he, you know, kind of went in the wrong direction last year. What we don't know is how severe his injuries were, but we kept harping on player development. And the one thing that Billy Donovan has, and it goes, and I know a lot of people are like, hey, man, we're talking about the NBA, can't go back to college. But that's where he started. That's where most coaches started, outside of a few. But what did he do at Florida? He developed college players to win two national titles back to back. What has he done at Oklahoma City when he got into the NBA? He hired the proper staff. He developed the players that he had. Think about what that team was able to accomplish this past season, considering all the adversity of every team in the NBA. But at the same time, he developed players. So what do we have? We have good, solid, young players that have a skill set that needs to be developed. So that's why I love this hire. Now, what we don't know as of yet, and as we're talking and doing this podcast, every coach at the NBA level that I've talked to, let's talk about Tom Thibodeau, a coach that a lot of Bulls fans love, Doc Rivers, who I played with that I've talked to on numerous occasions, Jeff Van Gundy, who is on TV right now. One of the, has been a head coach with the Houston Rockets, the Knicks. They always talk about, in order to truly succeed in the NBA, you need to hire the right staff. Not a bunch of yes men, but a bunch of guys that are all want to accomplish the same thing, and that's winning. And winning at times can be ugly. It can be unforgiving. But at the same time, you're always on the same page trying to accomplish the same goal. And a head coach is only as good as the assistants that he hires, because the assistants do a lot more work than people think because of what's required of a head coach. So we'll all sit here and anxiously await who Billy Donovan is going to hire and bring in on his staff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested as well to see the other people that we hear about in the coming days and weeks, as far as more people on player development staff, more people in, you know, assistant coaches chairs. But obviously the head coach is the most important person when you're talking about developing these young players. And Donovan has a long list of names already of young NBA players who have made big strides in their first handful of seasons. You know, note among them, our pal Horace Grant's nephew, Jeremy Grant, who was, you know, doing wonderful things for the Nuggets in their great long playoff run. You know, I think you got to give Donovan credit for his development among many others. But, you know, Will, you are one of maybe a select very few number of people who can say in the course of your NBA career, you played for arguably two of the greatest coaches ever in Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich. Won titles with Phil Jackson, won a title with Greg Popovich. When you talk about Billy Donovan's approach, you know, and we heard from so many people that he's worked with, his former mentor, Rick Pitino, his former pupil, Shaka Smart, both went on Chicago Sports Talk Radio after the hire and talked about Donovan really being a genius at, you know, walking that narrow line of commanding authority and respect from his team and demanding accountability while also making his players feel like he is in their corner and he is there to support them. And saying things like, you know, the last thing Donovan would ever do is embarrass a player or throw a player under the bus and air his grievances with the player with the media, which is something that we saw Jim Boylan do time and again And the previous coach before Boylan, Fred Hoiberg, was one who maybe was a little bit, you know, on the other side as far as letting people get away with things. So what was it to you that made Phil and Greg Popovich so successful in finding that right balance that people talk about Donovan having with being a player's coach, but also a player's coach who demands accountability? Because the Bulls' two previous head coaches have both failed at that.
Well, I think you hit it right on the head there, Matt. Respectability. Okay, does the coach or does the head coach of a team have the respect of his players? And if he doesn't, why not? And a lot of that at times has to do with resume, or a lot of that has to do with the lack of a relationship with the player. And I don't mean a personal relationship, but that relationship they have with the player, you know, when the time they're together, you know, on the plane, on the bus, at the hotel, in the locker room, during the game. Does the coach respect you, and do you respect the coach? Now, Billy Donovan, in my opinion, now has the necessary resume to deserve and demand the respect of those players. And do the players fully believe that management is trying to put them in a position to succeed? And if they do, they also then respect the coach because they know that the management has the coach's back. But management with that particular coach is putting this team in the position to succeed. And most notably, that is to win. When I was with Greg Popovich, I had a great relationship with him, and he had a great relationship with everybody in that, on that team, the culture that they had developed. It wasn't necessarily maybe the Miami Heat culture that everybody's talking about right now, but it was that culture that everybody bought into, most notably accountability and how Popovich dealt with each player individually in a family atmosphere. Whereas Phil was a little different. You didn't necessarily have a personal relationship with him per se, but you also had Michael Jordan on the team, but you never, ever questioned his credentials, Tex Winter's credentials, Johnny Bock's credentials, Jim Clemens' credentials, and you knew that management had his back at all times. But that also, to wrap this up in this part, has to do with veteran leadership. And that's where you now look at this roster and say, who is going to be that guy? It's not necessarily a voice of reason, but a guy that is going to stand behind the words of Billy Donovan when there may be a little pushback. And in this day and age, there is always pushback from players. But who is that player now that will step up at the cost of maybe a friendship in that locker room, but maintaining that respectability between each other and between the coaches and the players?
Couple of clutch free throws by Will Perdue.
We'll get back to our conversation with Will Perdue in just a minute. Want to talk to our listeners about our amazing sponsor in Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It's just that simple. Been telling you guys about our 12 original flavors that they have, including German chocolate, peanut butter, and banana bread, but also introducing 6 brand new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and 4 amazing other flavors. Head to BuiltBar.com to check out all 18 amazing flavors provided by Built Bar. They're covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the healthy conscious guy or girl in your life. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. Great for the keto diet. One of my favorite bars of all time is the peanut butter bar. It's got 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. I had an early shift on Sunday morning over at 670 The Score, and like I've been telling you guys all the time, I eat at weird hours. I'm not a huge breakfast person, but I grabbed one of the peanut butter Built Bars and grabbed a piece of fruit on my way out the door, and it was perfect. It lasted me all morning long, and it didn't make me feel guilty. I got my 100% chocolate fix in, but did not make me feel guilty about filling myself up with a bunch of sugars and unnecessary carbs. So head to BuiltBar.com right now to try it for yourself. You get $10 off your next order. You got to use promo code LOCKEDON though for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Once again, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Now back to our conversation with Will Perdue.
That's interesting that you say that, because I think about just some of the negative things that have been said about Donovan, and there's been far and few between, to be honest with you. I think one of the concerns that we've heard from Bulls fans over the last couple of weeks was the one infamous tweet from Kevin Durant who said he didn't really like playing for Billy Donovan while he was at OKC, and not knowing whether or not we should take that with just a grain of salt or buy a little bit more into that than usual than normal. I'm curious if you think that this Bulls roster has that leadership, that one guy or those two guys that can really be your veteran leaders, or if that's going to take time for the Bulls to develop on their own, or if they're going to have to bring in somebody from outside over the next two seasons or so to really help Donovan with building the culture of this Bulls team. Do you feel like Zach LaVine can be that guy who's, I mean, going with his sixth head coach in 7 years, do you feel like that it's somebody that Bulls fans maybe are not talking about that Donovan can develop a leader out of? And how quickly do you feel like that can happen with a roster like the Bulls?
Well, if they win immediately, that helps out tremendously. Because then, you know, hey, everything's going great. We're winning, you know. But that may not happen. I mean, we may see this team go backwards a little bit because obviously you're going to implement a new system offensively, defensively. As you talked about, another head coach for all these guys. So there's going to be a transition period. And, you know, honestly, we just don't know when this season's going to start. And, you know, Billy is not here for this, you know, this bubble that the Bulls that are experiencing right now. Thad Young was supposed to be that guy, but, you know, I think that he came across a lot of circumstances that he was not expecting when he came to Chicago for, and you know, his first year with the Bulls. But you would always, you know, you would think it would be your best player, but at times it's not. You ask about Zach LaVine. I know Zach is working on that, and I know that he's trying, but the one thing you just talked about, unfortunately, this is now is sixth head coach, right, Jordan?
Yes, correct. Sixth head coach, including college, in his seventh year in basketball.
Right. So that makes it a little tough. And then unfortunately for him, there was a stat out there as far as like his winning percentage, how bad that was, you know, number of wins and losses. That shouldn't say a lot because unfortunately, you know, the teams he's been on have not been that good. So that shouldn't always be on him. But, you know, unfortunately, players look at that. Fans look at that. So he's got a lot of baggage that he needs to, you know, get rid of. He needs to show people. I don't think you can question his commitment, but he has to show people that he can be a leader. And, you know, that is to be determined. There quite possibly could be some kind of trade that they make to bring in a veteran player who's not necessarily a starter, who's not necessarily an all-star, but somebody that has that resume and somebody that has that respect of every player on that roster that also sends a message and say, hey, if you want to be here and if you truly want to be a part of, you know, what it is that we're building, this is what it's going to require. You have to lay it out for these guys so they know exactly what it is the expectations are so they can't go back later and be like, but, oh, no, no. It was made very clear what we require of you. And a lot of that's going to be hard work. A lot of that's going to be changing your mentality, changing your approach, you know, because it's everybody wants to win, but are you willing to make the necessary sacrifice to win? And that's personally, that's professionally. And at times you may sacrifice a friendship or two, but then you also find out just how tight those friendships are when you guys are, as they say, put in the foxhole. Is this somebody you want in the foxhole with you when things get tough? Because is this person really here to help us win, or is this person just here to play basketball?
We're talking with Bulls legend Will Perdue here on the Locked On Bulls podcast. Follow Will on Twitter at Will_Perdue32. Will, you know, when you talk about people making sacrifices in order to win, whether it's players, the leaders on the team, the other people that I think have gotten some positive attention for the first time in a while from this Bulls fan base because of not only the Arturis Karnišovas hire and then letting Arturis run the show basically upon his arrival, and now going and getting at the time the most expensive qualified coaching candidate on the market. People are talking about the Reinsdorf family, the people who run this organization, who own this organization, who at times, whether fair or unfair, have had the reputation of being cheap when it comes to running their basketball team and paying in order to help their chances of winning. Do you think that not only the AK hire, because we, as we've heard, AK didn't come cheap, and now Billy Donovan and being willing to not only pay Jim Boylan to go away, which they did with other previous head coaches, but pay Donovan a $6 million annual salary, do you think that this does signify some different shift in the Reinsdorf's willingness to shell out in any and all ways to try to finally right the ship of this rebuild going nowhere? Or do you think that that perception was a little bit misguided in the first place? I know that you've had a long existing relationship with Jerry Reinsdorf and that family.
Well, let me go back and I apologize to Jordan. I did not necessarily specifically answer the question about did they act too quickly. I don't think they did with the Donovan situation. I know, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, Doc Rivers is available. I think, and you know, this is kind of one of those things. I kind of talk to my son about this a lot. You need to stop focusing on what you don't have and focus on what you do have. What you do have, in my opinion, is a good coach, a good coach that fits in to what it is that the Chicago Bulls are trying to do right now. Is this the guy that brings you a championship? I think that's a little premature at the moment. Think about what this team needs and what this organization needs. And I feel like Billy Donovan fits that bill. Now, to answer your question, Matt, somebody told me this, but I can't remember where I heard it from. I can't really get a confirmation, but it seems to be coming to fruition that Michael Reinsdorf made a comment, whether it was off the cuff, maybe it was behind closed doors. I'm not 100% sure, but to me, I try to remember the comment about, hey, we're a $1 billion company and we need to act like it. In businesses, you know, to make a dollar, you got to spend a quarter. You can't just spend a nickel. And I think that it's been, unfortunately, some shade's been thrown on the Reinsdorfs because of people have perceived them as being cheap. And one of the things I always try to tell people is it's not as easy as you think to win championships. Winning championships costs money. Cost resources. And I always like to use the Dallas Mavericks as an example. If it was so easy to win a championship, and if it was so profitable to win a championship, then why did Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, basically have a fire sale the minute they won their championship? Why didn't he keep that going? Why didn't he pay everybody? Why didn't he shell out millions of dollars to just keep the train rolling? I know that was a big topic of discussion after, 30-30 came out regarding to why didn't they give the Bulls an opportunity to try to win the seventh championship? If you go back and look at the numbers fiscally, it would have been impossible to do something like that because of the number of free agents and what you would have had to pay everybody. And I know people are like, well, look at the Golden State Warriors. In this sense, the Golden State Warriors are an anomaly. You cannot really compare yourself to the Golden State Warriors. What you have to compare yourself is to what can we accomplish in this market? And the Chicago Bulls are a major market. It needs to the stigma of the Chicago Bulls needs to change as far as this needs to be, as we all feel and think should happen, a free agent destination. And I think that the Bulls organization, and I think Michael and Jerry Reinsdorf should be applauded for this. Maybe it was a little slow in coming, but you know, with the hire of Arturas, you didn't mention Mark Eversley, and the fact that they've now brought in Billy Donovan, I think they're sending the proper message and the right message that we're willing to spend the money to make this thing right. And I think part of that, this is just my opinion, is that when you watch these games and you see the lack of people that were coming to the games, the number of empty seats, unfortunately, the apathy that people were starting to have for the players, that's unacceptable. And I think that Jerry saw that, Michael saw that, and finally came to the realization. And I think a name that people need to give credit to, John Paxson, was a guy that stood up and said, hey, this needs to change. The culture needs to change. The atmosphere needs to change. How fans feel about this organization needs to change. And if we need to move forward. Now, if there is a fault that Jerry Reinsdorf has, it's loyalty. To me, that's a good quality to have. Maybe not so much in the eyes of the fans, but at the same time, he eventually, in my opinion, has always done the right thing to try to help this organization, whether it's the White Sox, whether it's the Bulls. In the case of the White Sox, win a World Series, and in the Bulls, win a championship. I know it's been a while. I know there's been some mistakes made, but I think they have righted the ship, and we are, you know, moving in the right direction.
I think that's a good point, too, and if any listeners out there cross over like I do and grew up a White Sox fan and understanding the frustrations some had here for a very long time about the kind of meddling and mediocrity it felt like, and it took, I guess, a few extra mistakes to the point where the Sox finally said, you know what, we're going to bring the best people in to turn this around. And it took a little bit of time after that. I always think the benchmarker for the Sox was the James Shields trade, him and Fernando Tatis Jr. But after that didn't work out, that's really when the Sox said, you know what, we're going to try to fix this and we're going to do it right. I think about it with this rebuild especially too. It took a few extra mistakes and things not working out or not panning out for the Bulls to finally realize, hey, you know what? I think we actually need to make some changes here and stop continuing to do the same thing over and over and over again. And I give them a ton of credit too in a year where hardly teams are losing hundreds of millions of dollars. Teams are without revenue at their stadiums. And for fans, check in on how much revenue is made by the Bulls every year going just from fans going to the stadium. They're losing a ton of money, and for the Bulls to shell out the money to sign a coach, to go out and spend the money they did on a new front office, a new GM, I think it speaks to the volumes of them wanting to put in place a winning culture going forward, because the last thing you want here in Chicago is to be the team that everybody forgot about. And I think the Bulls kind of understand that they were teetering on that line and still bought in with a bunch of championships back in the 90s. And no doubt they're always going to be remembered for that. But I think that they felt some type of pressure of teetering on that mediocrity / we don't want to be forgotten about here in the city. And so I applaud them for that in 2020. My question for you, though, watching this finals, do you feel like they were still at a point where they didn't want to put the money into the team, or didn't feel the necessary need to put the money into the team, say, 3 years ago when they had the decision on Butler? Do you feel like that was more about money, or was it more them thinking that they couldn't build a winning team around Jimmy with all the circumstances, the money they had to spend on players around Jimmy at that time? With a lot of fans revisiting that now 3 years later, and I feel like the story is kind of being rewritten. Now seeing him in the finals, do you feel like it was still at that time about the money, or was it about not being able to build the championship around Butler as a player?
Well, Jordan, honestly, I think it's about both. Because, you know, when I go back and I think about, you know, when Jimmy was here, how did Jimmy flourish? Jimmy flourished under Tom Thibodeau. He didn't necessarily flourish under an organization. He flourished under Tom Thibodeau. And Thibodeau was his guy. They had very similar mentalities, win at all cost. And when Tom Thibodeau left, in my opinion, when things kind of fell apart, especially with Jimmy, because he didn't necessarily get along with his teammates. He didn't necessarily think that they all had the same goal in mind. That was to win at all costs, regardless of what it took. And he obviously had disagreements with management. So that's, to me, and because of the player he had become, there was going to be a certain salary that he was going to demand, or somebody else was going to pay him. So were the Bulls going to pony up? So when I think you take all that into the equation, you couldn't do it. I know a lot of people want to point at the Bulls. They want to point at Gar. They want to point at John. They want to point at the Reinsdorfs. I think there's a lot of blame to pass around. And I think Jimmy also has to be responsible for them, some of that too, because, you know, he alienated a lot of people when he was here. I know hindsight is 2020 and, you know, time heals all wounds, but it was a toxic situation. I don't think people realized how bad it was behind closed doors. I know the Bulls don't want to talk about it. Jimmy doesn't want to talk about it or necessarily admit it. But what the Miami Heat have right now and what Jimmy is doing right now was not what was going on with the Bulls years ago. So to me, you can't necessarily make that comparison and say, hey, wait a minute. Again, the Bulls hire Billy Donovan. Way to go. Good job. And then all of a sudden, Doc Rivers is available. Maybe we acted too quickly. Hey, Jimmy Butler was doing well, but things were really going bad, and it wasn't a good situation. But now Jimmy's in the finals. Maybe we shouldn't have traded him. You know, it's just whether it's in business, whether it's in sports, for some reason, people always seem to think grass is always greener on the other side. And that's not always the case. You know?
It's a really good way to put it.
I agree with the big picture. There are certain organizations, the Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat, the Chicago Bulls, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Golden State Warriors, the San Antonio Spurs. I may be missing one or two. That should be always held to higher standards. Why? Because of their history and what they've done. And that's win championships. So when you think about that, those are the organizations you think about. And I think, Jordan, you put it very well. The Bulls had had become mediocre. But also in the NBA, mediocre is profitable. But when fans stop coming and fans, you know, stop showing up at the games, and you go to a game and, hey, the announced attendance may be, 15,000, 18,000, but you know damn well there's only maybe 10 or 11,000 there, and you see the number of empty seats, you see the number of empty suites, and remember, the suites are already paid for. All you got to do is show up.
Right.
I think that's when the Bulls really took notice. It affected their bottom line. It's not something they want to talk about. But at the end of the day, you know, sometimes we talk about, you know, the old saying my dad used to say, hey, if it was a snake, it would have bit you because it was right there. How'd you not see that? How'd you not figure that out? You know, I've been pointing that out all the time. But now here I am. I'm 55, and now I have a son that's 16 years old. And I know my dad, when I talk to him on the phone periodically, wants to say, I told you so. You wouldn't listen to me. And now you're dealing with it. It all comes full circle, doesn't it? And I think that, you know, the Bulls dealt with that a little bit. And I think that now they want to get back. They want to get out of that mediocrity pool. They want to get out of the mud. And they want to get back to being a contender instead of a pretender.
Well, that's going to about do it for episode one, part one of our conversation with Will Perdue. Want to thank him again for coming on this episode. He's fantastic and got a lot of thoughts. Seemingly a little bored at home, too, during this shutdown in no Bulls basketball. So stick around. Episode two should follow straight in your feed. If you're subscribed to Locked On Bulls, it should already be there. Part two, two episodes today because we did not drop an episode on Friday for you guys. So over an hour of back and forth with Will Perdue. Hopefully you enjoyed part one. Go check out part two. We're on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Our text and voicemail line is 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. We'll get to those voicemails and questions on Wednesday's episode, or even maybe Tuesday. Either way, we'll get to all of your questions and all of your voicemails. So go listen to part two. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy part two of our conversation with Will Perdue next. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Boots to asses.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.